a good leader is about having such exemplary conduct, character, and conversation, others want to be like you. As a leader, you are the example, and as an example, all that you are is contagious. Even the hidden stuff can be imparted. It doesn't require you wear a suit, slick back your hair with religious hair gel, or have church speak down pat.
Well, praise the Lord, glory to God, amen.
It doesn't require you be amazing or relevant. Our conduct demonstrates who we are more than anything else. There are people who call themselves leaders, yet are irresponsible, inconsiderate, foul-mouthed, and maybe even downright feckless. That's not even a good manager. It appears to me that's just someone who has the look and talk down pat and knows how to spit out numbers and percentages at meetings. But in truth, no one wants to be like them. Not many appreciate their character, and others simply avoid any continuing conversation. And on a side note, being a leader has been abused, misused. It has been manipulated, forced on people. And just because we have seen it abused, misused, misappropriated, and completely slammed on people who didn't even want it, that does not negate the need for leadership. Leadership is important, and you know, the only people in the Bible without a leader were locusts, and they were considered a curse. Most places who need managers need someone to figure out time schedules for employees to work, keep track of stock, handle the money and receipts, and sometimes, more than anything else, they are the go-to person for resolving conflicts between the people who work there or with customers. Alan Murray wrote that the manager has his or her eye always on the bottom line. The leader's eye is on the horizon. The manager imitates. The leader originates. The manager accepts the status quo. The leader challenges it. The manager is the classic good soldier. The leader is his or her own person. The manager does things right. The leader does the right thing. Did you catch the subtle differences? It's important we perceive them. From God's perspective, though, our conduct is one of the three primary things which are of utmost concern. Conduct is how we set our feet on territory or an object. In fact, the Hebrew word for conduct is a derivative of the word tread, as in Deuteronomy 33:29, treading upon the high places of the earth. It's not if we place our feet on territory, but how we establish our feet there. We can either be a terror and a tyrant, or we can live with confidence in Christ with good boundaries and grace. From God's perspective, our godly conduct requires humility, a stooping down. It's amazing how far a little humility goes, and nowhere does God mean to be sniveling and spineless. That's not humility. No sniveling allowed. Humility brings us clear eyes and a clear head, for God will always help those who get low. Remember, Proverbs 15 says that humility comes before honor. If we want to be leaders with honor, then humility is the doorway to God's house. There is actually an element of action in the Lord's word for conduct. It's more than just saying good stuff causing people to nod in agreement with us, but is more about putting righteousness into action. Leaders, real godly leaders, don't merely assign people a task, but define for them a purpose. Managers may organize workers to maximize efficiency, but real leadership strengthens Holy Spirit giftings, nurtures skills, develops talent, imparts inspiration and passion. Conduct is not if you stand, but how you stand. I believe we can learn to be a manager, but leadership, real leadership, is a gift developed by God. We can read all the 5 Easy Steps to Leadership books we want, but the truth is, if we are not called to it, we are simply not called to it. Now look, if God has not called you to be a leader, don't let it get you down. Just because we have a different calling doesn't mean we have a lesser calling. The book of Proverbs has a lot to say about conduct. Proverbs 29, verse 2. When the righteous increase, the people rejoice, but when the wicked rule, the people groan. Righteous leadership tips the house towards the Lord and uprightness, and atrocious leadership tips the house towards atrocity. Proverbs 29:23. One's pride will bring him low, but he who is lowly in spirit will obtain honor. And here again, the goal of being a leader is not one of putting yourself in a position of being honored, sitting in high places, strutting around in mock authority. That kind of conduct is not conducive to leading anyone, except those who live in the same swirling madness. Remember, humility comes before honor. So if your goal is to get to a platform and own that microphone so everyone will listen to you, you got to get low first. God has called us to actually, truly possess a heart inclined to godly conduct, not just a heart which puts on airs of good conduct for the hidden agenda of gaining a platform. A man is judged by his works, his achievements, his deeds, his total conduct, all of which is intrinsic to being a leader. Godly conduct is the result of being boiled down through trial or hewed into shape as God has been allowed to form our character like a potter shapes the clay. Jesus is our most outstanding example of leadership, of our exemplary conduct, character, and conversation. Study how he conducted himself and then follow his example. Ephesians 4:20-24. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. We have been empowered through the blood of Jesus to continually live in what Paul describes in that scripture as foundational to good conduct. Good conduct is not if you place your feet on territory, but how you place your feet there. 1 Timothy 3:15. If I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. This is speaking of being responsible, of godly leadership, where our conduct in God's house lays the groundwork of truth, and being in leadership demands a special kind of conduct. Do you get that? Our godly conduct lays the groundwork of truth in Christ. God is using you as an example. John Maxwell says, if you think you're a leader, look behind you, and if no one is following you, you're not a leader. You're just someone out for a long walk. Not everyone with the title of leader is a leader. Managers are not necessarily leaders. CEOs are not necessarily leaders. Politicians are not necessarily leaders. Pastors are not necessarily leaders. Some people just wind up with the title because no one else wanted it. Or no one else was qualified. Leaders don't have to call themselves leaders in order to be leaders. If we have to tell people we are a leader so they'll know we're in leadership, chances are good we're probably not all we think we are. Paul Turner asks,
"So, my friends, is your conduct as a leader speaking loud enough? Look behind you. Is anyone following? Who are you inspiring and how can you tell?"
And I say, remember, if you want others to be different, then you be different first. What do you think? Thanks for listening. I'm Social Porter with Living in His Name Ministries.